von Meilen und Zeilen. Abenteuer direkt aufs Ohr. Der Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags mit Tim Kruse.
Im April hatten wir euch Haik Palma de Mallorca vorgestellt. Jetzt kommt Haik Stockholm raus. Charlotte Gavell ist echte Stockholmerin, hat ihr Leben in dieser wunderschönen Stadt verbracht und jetzt die schönsten Wanderrouten rund um die Metropole rausgebracht. Da Charlotte viel lieber Englisch als Deutsch spricht, machen wir diesen Podcast mal wieder in Englisch. Charlotte, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Tim. Nice to be here.
In your book, you're describing four hikes through the Royal National City Park of Stockholm.
Yes.
First of all, for us boring Democrats in Germany, how important is the king for you and your fellow citizens?
Well, you know, for us, the royal family, actually, I don't know if we are all royalists. We wouldn't consider us royalists, but still we are. I think we actually do like our royal family. We're a small country and they are like some kind of our big family. It's they are good representatives for us.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And it's so interesting. I heard that the king and his family are the only people that you use the formal form. And the rest you just say the informal form, like we use in German, du and sie. But it's only the royal family to use the formal form. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, but I actually think it's correct. It's more or less the only ones you use the formal form to. Yes, it is a little bit funny. I never reflected upon that. Yes.
Have you ever met one of them?
Actually, yes, I have.
Oh, tell us all about it.
No, but I was, you know, I am a photographer as well.
Yeah.
So I made a book about the royal muse. A few years ago, which was really fascinating and interesting because it was really nice to see how it works behind the scenes a little bit. And so when working with that book, I had the opportunity to meet some of them, yes.
And would you say that they are very close to the people, to the Swedish people, or do they still behave like royals should behave?
I would rather say they behave a little like royals should behave. Mm-hmm. Of course, they are close. I mean, you can like a few days ago, I passed Princess Madeleine in the street and with her dog, walking her dog.
No bodyguards.
No. But so that's the way it works. And a few weeks ago, I met the prince in the street. So they actually
Amazing.
Walk around. Yes. So and it doesn't make a lot of attention, you know, in a way. But still, they are the royal family. So it is a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. For us, you know, this is so amazing because our king was sent out of Germany in 1918. That is so long ago. It's like nobody remembers the king in Germany, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So for us, this is so interesting. But we still have to come back to your book now. Haik Stockholm. What is so special about Stockholm? Because it's only one city, you know, and you make a book about hiking around Stockholm. What's so special to make an own book about only one city?
No, but, you know, the whole hike series is about we choose different cities. Because we actually do find cities do, I mean, most cities do have a lovely nature experience around the corner. It's the full concept. And Stockholm is ideal for this concept because we have nature experience, really around the corner. Like we have these four hikes that starts straight in the city from the Royal National City Park. It's really in the city. Mm-hmm. And if you go just a little bit further, you really can experience nature as you are there by yourself.
Yeah.
So the combination from having a city life and the possibility of seeking nature is ideal in Stockholm.
Yeah. And there is so much nature. When I look through your book, you say there are deers and all kinds of big animals in the center of town.
Yes.
That means you must provide nature with a lot more consciousness than we do.
I don't know about that,
Oh, you won't see a deer in Berlin or Hamburg.
No, no, but we got this big lung that is Djurgården. And it's always been, I mean, from the start, it was the hunting grounds of the queens, of the kings. So, I mean, they needed to have animals there. So I guess also from history, it's been inhabited by animals. But I mean, for sure, it's not exaggerated. It's plentiful of deers if you go out on Djurgården.
That's so amazing. Mm. That's for us. That's unbelievable. You know, you really have to go to the countryside here. I live in North Germany, and you see many deers around. But you wouldn't see them in the city. So I find that really amazing.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. It is amazing. You know, sometimes I think, if for us it's not exotic, but and it's not. It's not dangerous animals. It's just shy animals. You see them, but you know, I compare. Sometimes I think, oh my God, if we were in like the continent of Africa, and we saw instead lions, you know, or elephants or something, because it's really a lot of animals here.
Yeah. It's so interesting. You write that in that Royal City Park, you've got 15 million visitors per year, 800 different plants, 1,200 bugs, and 100 different kinds of birds.
Yeah.
This seems to be a complete paradise in a city.
It is, and that's why we are writing about it, because I really, really want to make a statement about this place, because it is really, really unique.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, 15 million visitors is a lot. So it's it is also something that needs to be cared about.
And protected. Yeah.
But a little bit, I would say, fortunately, people go, you know, people tend to move in the same direction. So people go out from where the museums are, and you know, the routes that are like set up, so you can still find like some of the hikes we have is not as inhabited by people as the rest of
that. That's good. We see so many environmental changes due to different weather conditions, climate change, whatever. Do you have that too? Or is your region still very healthy?
Well, of course, we are also. We also see it. We talked about it yesterday. It's the end of September, and it feels like summer here.
Yeah.
Which is it's not normal. You know, it's not what we are used to. So but you know, we are a cold country, so we are still happy about having. having a warmer climate, and also when we have rains, they are heavier than they used to be.
Yeah, same here. What's your favorite hike through Stockholm? Because you have, I think, 15 different hikes in the book. What's your favorite one?
Can I say a few?
Of course. I know you. I expected that.
No, but I do have a few. I starting with the archipelago, I would say that Gola is a super hike. It's really easy to go out to the starting point of this hike, and all of a sudden you are out in the archipelago of Stockholm. And the hike gives you views of enormous views, you know, 360 degrees views over the archipelago.
Beautiful.
And you can take a swim if the season allows. And we've been hiking this one during the winter, and it's when it's snow covered, it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. That one I really. I would also Paradiset. The Paradise hike is also a hike I would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is more by lakes, you know. But maybe also for you, it's really like the idea of of Sweden. It's really like forest and lakes and it's also very beautiful.
You know, for many Germans, Sweden is the ideal country, seen from here, at least for me. You know, it's because of Michiel of Lönneberger. It's hard to describe, but when we think of a perfect world, for us, it's Sweden. And now when your book comes out and I flip through the book and I see all these pictures, I think, yes, it is the perfect country.
But, you know, this is, I'm glad to hear this, but also because this is nature within an hour from Stockholm, from the city center.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you see, because this is how it is. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And also, I always think when I meet Swedish people when I'm traveling, you know, wherever in the world, they seem more, especially elderly people, they seem more relaxed than Germans of that age. And I once in India, I asked an old Swedish man, I said, can you explain to me why your generation is so relaxed compared to the Germans? And he just said, we didn't have a war. And that's so interesting.
Yeah, I actually think he's very right. We have been fortunate enough not to been in the war, so of course it makes a difference.
Yeah,
of course it's we haven't, those generations haven't been traumatized.
Exactly. You're not only a writer, but you also have your own publishing house, Gavel Verlag. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, you did. Yes, yes.
And you came up with this idea of that whole hike series. And I think you published 15 books so far now about different cities like Palma de Mallorca, Nice, now Stockholm. When you came up with this idea, did you know that there is a big lack of hiking tours in cities?
Well, we did find out. It was actually because we during the pandemic, we spent a lot of time hiking. And it was actually in the Nice area. And bit by bit, we found out, I mean, we used a lot of guidebooks to find out nice hikes. And then I don't want to sit in the car for 3 hours just to do a short hike and then having to go back for 3 hours. It's just too much hassle.
Exactly.
So it just, it developed into this, like, you don't want to go have a too long a trip to be able to do the hike. It's possible. It's actually possible to find hikes within the distance of 1 hour. And also, even better, if you can go there not having to use a car. But if most of them are doable by taking a public transport, even better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I come to a city, I always try to do a hike. And I go in on the internet, I look for hikes, and there are so many.
Yeah.
And I don't know which one to choose because, you know, I don't know the sender. So I don't know if it's reliable. I've been on too many hikes found on the internet, not being so fun, you know. Yeah. So we just had the idea of really actually not having so many hikes, but having 15 hikes, but hikes that are really, really good. That we guarantee are good. And that's from experience, from ourselves, you know. You don't need more hikes because when you learn also the area from those hikes, you can develop hikes yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go too far from the city. And I think it's a lack because, and that's why, you know, there are hike books that have like 60 hikes and you go further away. So this is a compliment. You can actually use both.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, thank you.
The only thing is about those books, it's so much work. So how long do you need to write such a book? You know, you have QR codes in it. You have the whole description of the way and then taking great pictures and everything. How long does it take to write a book like this?
It takes quite a long time. From startup, from preparing, from having the book ready, it's a year.
Oh, wow.
But then, of course, but we need to really walk, secure the hikes and walk them several times when it's, and really choose the hikes, which ones. So, of course, we start with a larger amount of hikes and then they sort themselves out until we have the 15 ones we really want to keep. Mm-hmm. And then testing the QR codes, testing our explanations and descriptions.
Yeah.
We walk them again and again. Yeah, it's a lot of work. Fortunately, it's our passion to hike.
Yeah, I think that's the only way how it works.
Yeah.
You write the book together with Patrick Engström.
Right.
Is he also your publisher, or how's that connection?
The connection is actually that he's my husband.
Okay, that explains something.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow, then it works. Yeah, of course. So you have the same passion and you go out together or even separately, and then you can both write on the book.
Right, yes. And also we are from, we are photographers.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it also easy to take all the pictures. We are hikers since, you know, we were small.
Yeah.
So it's a passion we share. And we started the publishing company together also. So, yeah.
So do you write in Swedish and then translate into English and sell it in English and German? And how does it work?
Yeah, I write everything in Swedish. And then we have a translator who translates it into English. We do all our books in two languages. So we do that. We publish them, one edition in Swedish and one edition in English.
And now in German.
And then the German edition is translated by the German publishing mm-hmm. company, Delius Klassing, who published it in Germany.
And how does that work? So do they get in touch with you, or do you have to get in touch with them? How does that work?
Well, it differs. For this time, I got in contact with them a few years ago for another book that we did with VeloChef, Henrik Åhre.
Yeah.
I think he was in your podcast.
I interviewed him, exactly. Yes. He's a great guy.
He's super good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we did this hike series, I introduced it for Delius, and they were interested in having it in Germany as well.
And do they buy all the rights for, let's say, 5,000 books, and then you have a new negotiation about the next 5,000? How does it work?
No, it actually, they buy the rights for publishing the books in Germany, and it's more time limited.
Oh, okay, so it's like a buyout on time. If they publish 1,000,
yeah,
it's their problem. If they publish 1,000,000, then you have bad luck.
Yeah, they pay a royalty. So then we have both good luck. So it's royalty based, but also it's time limited. And then after that time limit is achieved, normally you continue.
And can you live only off your publishing house, or do you need other jobs as a photographer?
At the moment, I actually need to support myself also with my assignment as a photographer.
Yeah,
it differs. We had very tough years during the pandemic.
Of course, yeah, we all had.
Yeah, so and also being a small publisher, it's dairy, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think people outside of this world don't know what it means to publish books.
I know.
You know, all the work you put in, all the love you put in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you make a couple of hundred bucks and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you make 1,000, of course, but imagine you work for a year on a book. You should probably earn 30, 40,000 at least, but you don't.
No, at all. No. And there are no guarantees.
Exactly.
The book, actually, the book and the subject, it can be super good, but then. Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Or the opposite, you know. Sometimes it's things that you don't expect to work really, really well, and they do.
So why do we do it? Ego. It's just our ego that needs to be published.
Yeah, I don't know. I've asked myself the same question so many times, you know. Not that many times, but sometimes.
No,
ego, passion.
Yeah.
I mean, like, our publishing company is the opportunity to do something that we really love. I mean, we do on subjects that we love. So
exactly. And then it doesn't feel like work. You know, then it feels like fun. Well, it's not always fun, of course, but it's something that you hear the call that you have to do it, right?
It's true. Yeah. And it's working with people who have the same passion. And
exactly.
So Yeah, when we do a lot of work with the hiking books and we are out hiking, it's something we love doing. So it's not like being in an office, you know, for months. So, yeah. And also, I do believe in the strength of having an active lifestyle. For me, it's meaningful to do these publications because I know and I believe in it being very, it's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Mm. So when you want to make a new book, let's say Hamburg, you know, there are great hikes in Hamburg.
Uh-huh.
But you need a Swedish author then, don't you? Or would you do it with a German author?
I could actually do it also with a German author. Yes, I could. Because when we go into a new city, we need to have someone who's specialized in the area. Who knows the area. Yeah.
Okay. And then the person writes in their mother language and then you translate it into Swedish or only English then, or how does it work?
It can work in different ways. So the author writes it in his or her language and we translate it, or we do it together. And, you know, so depending on how many languages we need to have it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We always find solutions, you know.
Yeah, of course, you have to.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah.
Because we don't work for the state or something, you know.
No, no.
We work for ourselves.
If there's a will, there's a solution, you know.
Exactly. Mm. Charlotte, thank you so much for this talk.
Yes.
It's always so nice to talk to passionate people because, you know, we follow our more, I know this sounds cheesy, but we follow our hearts.
Yeah.
And so, and that's good. And if we don't make much money, fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's our call and you do that and I can hear that and it's so nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you, Tim.
Und für euch da draußen nochmal, Hike Stockholm, die schönsten Wanderrouten rund um die Metropole. Wer Stockholm ein bisschen kennt, ihr lernt diese Stadt nochmal neu kennen mit dem Buch von Charlotte. Holt es euch, es lohnt sich auf jeden Fall.
Das war von Meilen und Zeilen. Alle zwei Wochen neu, immer freitags. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, abonniert uns, liked uns, empfehlt uns. Oder schreibt uns an podcast@delius-klasing.de. Nur bei uns gibt's echte Abenteuer direkt ins Ohr.